almost, I think it's almost shocking, is the Ralbag in Parshas Lech Lecha. Maybe I mentioned it here. It could be. I'm not sure. I apologize all the time. I talk too much, and therefore I don't remember what I said to whom or where. But then, of course, I have a shita to justify that we need to knock it in again and again and again, so it's all worthwhile. But anyway, forgive me. But he says that if you want to convince someone, a loved one, to do something that's painful and strange, tell them the benefits. And after you tell them the benefits will mitigate the pain. Very nice psychology. Where do we learn it from? Avraham Avinu, by the Bris Mila. Hashem didn't tell him that he's going to have to cut. Just look, we're going to have a covenant with me and children, Eretz Yisrael, and this. And only then did he tell him. It seems we need that personal, even on Avraham Avinu, it made a difference to him. The personal benefit, you know, or the family benefit, the benefit on whatever level I'm holding. And only then does it mitigate the pain and the difficulty. So, anyway, okay, so speaking about pain and what? Yeah, I guess, no? Speaking about pain and, no? Huh? Yeah. Speaking about pain and difficulty, so we've indicated in, around this table, a number of times already, that the concept of bitochin, which we indicated at the very beginning, if you recall, Rashi says is the absence of worry. Yishavtem lovetach al ha'oretz, Rashi says, shelo yitidagu. You won't have any worries. It's the absence of worry. Sureness, trust is the absence of worry, because if I have someone to trust in, who is all-powerful and all-caring and involved, engaged, and is aware of everything that's going on. So there's nothing to worry about. You know? I can rely on him. I can surrender to him, so to speak. So it's definitely a very coveted commodity today, because, number one, we have problems. And number two, we have worries. Anxiety today, I mean, worry is the number one killer. Anxiety today is high up there in terms of the damage that it does to people on a physical level, not just on an emotional level. So this is like, you know, if we have a formula to resolve problems and to, in the process, keep us with peace of mind, menuchas hanefesh, tranquility, that's the greatest thing. But the question is, how do you get there? It's so nice to talk about. It's even soothing to think about. But tachlis, push comes to shove. The challenge is here. I'm faced by the difficulty. The catastrophe is about to happen. The market is coming down. The illness has been diagnosed, and you hear the prognosis and all the things that we go through in our world today. Like, I want it. Yeah, if I could buy it, I'd give you any amount of money for it. I'd put all my money into buying this pill called bitochin. But there is no such pill. There is no such potent. There's no such drink. There's no such drug. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. A combination of an intellectual awareness and an emotional internalization of that awareness that has to be acquired and can't be bought, and it can't be, you don't press a button. It's a process to achieve. So how can we go about achieving that? I think that's really the topic for this evening. I think the short answer is that there is no short answer. It's a long, elongated, thank you, almost ongoing, lifelong process with hills and valleys, ups and downs, changes, emotional changes, circumstances change, and my emotions change, and I have to catch up with the new circumstances and elevate the emotions, and it's an ongoing process. But there must be certain steps and certain ingredients that can be helpful in achieving this. I think before we continue, we should also indicate that it's a self-made state of mind. No one can instill this in us. Someone can possibly inspire us to want to work on it with ourselves, within ourselves, and influence ourselves accordingly. But no one can, you know, it's just like there's no pill, there's no spell, there's no inspiration that's going to last. Inspirations last moments, if not seconds. But so it's a process that we have to do, but there are certain ingredients. So it's important, I think, to keep in mind that there are intellectual ingredients and there are emotional ingredients. And the truth is that those two are very, very intertwined. Much of what we do as Jews, much of what we do as Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, are acts and sayings, statements, davening, whatever we do, which are meant to instill the intellectual awareness, but even more so, to make it penetrate to the emotions. And the Bali Musi used to say that the distance between here and here is the longest distance in the world. I can know something intellectually, but till it penetrates my heart, until I can feel it and rely on it, until it creates that sense of emotional tranquility, menuchas ha-nefesh, that's a process, and it's a long process. But we have to go through the process. I think the first thing is to outline very briefly the critical ingredients in developing such a state of being. And, of course, it's all based on the fact that there's a creator. If there is no one there, then there's no one to trust. And if the one who is there is either helpless or not completely powerful or not completely engaged or not completely knowledgeable or not completely merciful and kind and caring and giving, then also that's not the kind of a being that we can trust. Therefore, it makes sense that the review of what we can speak out very quickly if we have to, we might even be able to recite the Animamins or the Yigdal or any of these Adon Olam, which all bespeak these things by heart. But the first thing is to pay attention, to recognize, and to review. When we say these words every day, we have to think about what we're saying. Ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim mimal ve'al ha'oretz mitochas ein oid. Ein oid milvadoi. He's the one. He's the melech. He's the king. He's the b'iri. He's in control. And he's involved. And he's full of rachamim. We speak so many, the psuki, the zimra, the psukim that we say are constantly referring to his chesed and to his rachamim and to his trustworthiness and to his faithfulness and to his involvement in our lives. Critical to have those intellectual realizations firmly embedded within our mind. But those are intellectual. I might add, and I sort of was talking about this before some people walked in, is that I believe that the bitochin is what firms up that emuna. Because the bitochin is really the what's in it for me of the emuna. Not only the what's in it for me of the emuna, but the counterbalance of the burden and the pressure and the challenges and the confusion that sometimes that emuna will create in my life. You know, if there's a creator and there's obviously a purpose for which he created the world, and it happens to be that this creator revealed that purpose to us, and that purpose happens to have in it 613 problems, no, mitzvahs, I'm sorry, you know, that we are responsible for, that's not to mention the myriad of details which exist besides the etzem taryag mitzvahs. So it's like, it's overwhelming, it's a burden. And if we're aware of the the fact that Hashem knows everything that's going on, and that he's in for this serious business, because he obviously meant business when he created the world and when he gave a Torah to Klal Yisrael, and he set high standards for us, and he's a balabayis doichek. So that creates a pressure, becomes overwhelming. And the antidote to that is the benefit. And the benefit is the bitochen. I can take this being who has created me and who controls and who is aware and who is involved and who is engaged and who is willing to give and wants to give, and it's all about that, and yet he burdened me, and I can take that and transpose that and say, I now, through my connection with him, have a formula to achieve the resolution of my problems, the desires of my heart, and to live in a state of constant menuchas hanefesh, of the ultimate tranquility. So for me, it's a very good deal. It's a very good deal. And the fact that it has that benefit mitigates the pain. I have found, agav, over the years, and I do bitochen therapy to people who are off the derech. And what I try to do, because it's basically this apostle, it says, Hine'ein Hashem el yireov, lamed gimel in tilim lam yachalim l'chastoi. Hashem looks favorably on those who fear him, and lam yachalim l'chavetz chayim puts a comma there, and those who await his chesed even though they don't fear him. So if you have that relationship with Hashem, you can have benefits in this world, even if you're not from the Yirei Hashem. And what that does is, it relieves people of a burden. It transposes the emunah into something positive and beneficial. And it so relaxes this individual that within reasonable time, he's ready to undertake the burdens as well. Because that's all part of a package, which is ultimately a benefit. So I think the intellectual is extremely important, and we can't review the intellectual enough. There are many in the Meforshei HaBitochon who would tell us that just the intellectual review alone will penetrate the emotion. The more that a person thinks, Hashem is the creator, Hashem is all in control of everything, Hashem is Molei Chesed V'Rachamim, Hashem gets involved with his Ashkocha Protis in every aspect of my existence, and reviewing that again and again, knowing his Chesed, and knowing his Rachamim, and knowing his powers, and knowing his awareness, and knowing his desire, that emotionally will eventually penetrate. So it's review, review, and review, and review, and it's really no other way. And even the greatest of people, who have achieved, who've scaled the heights of the ultimate levels of bitochen, have also, we find, gone down, shaken up, a new circumstance, a new challenge, a new need to re-strengthen myself, and it's an ongoing battle. So we have to be, if we want the benefit of this this bitochen formula, it's a lifetime's work, it's a battle. That's one aspect. Something that makes that a little bit easier is the fact that not only we know that Hashem is Molei Chesed V'Rachamim, but he only created the world to do Chesed. Very important. Because if I understand who he is and how he's lacking nothing and how he needs me and us like he needs a hole in the head. He doesn't have a head either, but that's besides the point. But like, so it's only for chesed. If it's only for chesed, then I find it much easier to be able to think that, hey, if the whole purpose he created the world was only through chesed, hey, here I am. Hey, I'm helping you fulfill your purpose of creation. Let's see a little chesed. It becomes easier to internalize that when we focus on that. So besides everything else about all his powers and all his involvement and his chesed, just to think about the whole tachlis, we're only here because Hashem wants to do chesed. Mimele, that gives us even a deeper sense of how we can, in fact, hope and anticipate that that chesed will be forthcoming to us. But this is, again, all intellectual, which hopefully will penetrate the emotions. Now, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately with mixed, mixed this the mixed emotions, I guess. The best teacher of bitochon is, I guess, to use the familiar vernacular, the foxhole. The best teacher is the Shas Hatzorah. For some reason, I guess the reason is quite obvious, it's not really so bizarre, that when I'm faced with a problem, and especially when I realize that there's nobody who can help me, there's nowhere to turn, there's no other way out, all of a sudden, there comes from within something that just... It's almost like some of the Rishonim use the lotion. It's almost like prophetic. It's like a nevuah. That something just tells me. I just know. I have no one else to turn to. I know I can't do anything about it. I know you can't do anything about it. I know you can't do anything about it. And that desperation, I would say, the process is probably creates a surrender. And when we surrender, we turn ourselves over to his control, to his agenda, and then we start to feel that, I just feel it in my bones, he's going to take care of me, because there's no one else. Now, on an intellectual level, I think it's important to understand this. One of the biggest things that interfere with the natural flow of bitochon, or better yet, with the ability of the intellectual, which is the knowledge of Hashem and His power and His chesed and His rachamim and His involvement and so forth, to penetrate the heart. One of the things that interfere with that is because I share, or he has to share, that space in my heart with other powers. You know, when it comes to business, I think I'm pretty sharp. I got an MBA from Harvard. I have this, I have that, I have a track record. I got a lot of money in the bank. I got something going for me. When it comes to other things, I'm pretty smart. I have, you know. When it comes to other things, I'm well connected. And when we think that I have something, or when I think that somebody else has something to offer me, it becomes impossible to fill the heart with the fullness, with the emotional results of the knowledge that I have, because the heart is sharing space with other thoughts. You know, after everything is said and done, you know, I'm in a financial bind, this is a big deal, but, you know, it's insurance, there's this, there's that, I got money here, and once there's either Kuichav Yetzim Yodi, I have the ability, or I got friends in high places and I know where to turn, then it doesn't allow even the fullest intellectual knowledge of his power, his involvement, his kindness, his chesed. And forgive me, I repeat it again and again because we have to knock it into our brains. But it doesn't allow it to get into the heart because the heart is cluttered with other alternatives. And it's only when there's no alternative, when I'm alone and desperate and totally incapable of anything. As I mentioned this, I mentioned that David HaMelech was in the cave hiding from Shaul, and he says, "Habeit yominu re'ei ve'ein li makir." I look to the right, nobody even recognizes me. Aim derish lanafshi. He says, there's no one even asked about my well-being. Lefikoch, says the Radak, zo'akti alecho Hashem, v'amarti ato machzi. Only when I felt, not only there's no one helping me, there's nobody who could care less. There isn't anyone who knows me. There isn't anyone who asks about my well-being. I am totally alone. Then I have no place else to turn. And that seems to be a force, or maybe a removal of interference, that allows that which I know to be true to come forth, to spring forth, to sprout forth, and to give me that strength, that surge, that ability to rely on Hashem. I think that in internalizing this bitochon, it's very important to be aware of another process. And that is emotionally, in the emotional piece, the emotional process, that at least, it's at least a two, if not more, step process. The situation sometimes is desperate and dismal. And I realize that I have no place to turn. But I just can't imagine. It seems impossible. Yes, I know he can do anything. But it's impossible. What do you mean it's impossible? But he can do anything. But it's impossible. Look at the reality. Has he ever done it before? Have we ever seen such a thing? Maybe. But that's besides the point. But we have to realize that sometimes we can muster hope before we can muster trust. In other words, I don't have the ability to feel confident, but I have the ability not to give up hope. And that not to give up hope is a tremendous stepping stone to the ultimate confidence, and maybe a natural progression which just flows into that sense of confidence. Because if I am so stubborn that I refuse under any circumstance to give up hope, then eventually what I'm saying is, it has to happen. It has to happen. Right now, it has to happen. In fact, I dare say that, and I can't prove this, this is conjecture, but I dare say that we find, and you hear this from the medical profession at times, that sometimes the time when it's all over is the moment that I gave up hope. And I not only gave up hope, I said, you know something? I don't even want it anymore. I don't have that. I lose the willpower. Because I had hope, I had hope, I had hope. But the hope gets to a certain point, I get so frustrated, I throw in the towel. And that's where the doctor will say the body will, you know, close down. And we might say the Malach HaMovis sees his entree, you know, he can come in and do his thing. So that hope is very important, and it can lead to, and the hope really is very rational. Because the hope, the confidence that it's going to happen may be more difficult. But the hope is based on one thing. Hashem can do anything. And Chazal tell us very clearly, Afilu cherev chodo munach al tzavoroi shel odom. And here we find two lashonis. One lashon is al yisyayish odom in orachamim. Even if the sword is on the back of his neck and ready to strike, don't give up hope from rachamim. Because it takes Hashem's rachamim a split second, and before you know it, and this we have seen in the very last moment, something happens, something unbelievable, something miraculous, something absurd, something which clearly beyond the realm of coincidence takes place, and Hashem turns it around. Another lashon is, and this is scary too, al yimna odom es atzmim min harachamim. Don't hold yourself back from rachamim. Sometimes what happens is, and this is so dangerous and so important to avoid, sometimes what happens is that I'm hoping, I refuse to give up, and as the hope seems to wane, I torpedo it, I end it. I don't let it die a natural death. I say, I give up, forget it, take it easy. Don't hold yourself back. Don't destroy what's in motion. And oftentimes we can do that too. I gotta stop. I can't. Or sometimes you say, well, I don't want to be disappointed anymore, so I'm gonna stop hoping. Ki'ilu, stopping hoping is gonna take away the disappointment. You know, you've been hoping so long because you want something, so the stopping hoping doesn't take away the disappointment. But you know, that's it. So these are some of the things you have to be aware of. And if a person is focused on that, they will not, I refuse to give up hope, that can lead him to the next level, that Hashem is so full of rachamim that he will not, in fact, let me down. But on the other hand, it's still a gap. There's still a jump. There's still a difficult step from the ability to maintain the hope to the ability to rise to that level, to that sense of confidence. So I'd like to suggest a couple of other ingredients which are necessary here. You know, one of the things that brings to focus emotionally that which we know intellectually is relationship. When I have a relationship with a person, or if I am a relative related to that person, all of a sudden the emotions are part of the intellectual awareness. I see this person, I see his values, or I see his shortcomings, or I see what's going on. But at the same time, all of that is clouded by emotion. Because it's my friend, because it's my spouse, because it's my son, because it's my parent, because it's my brother, my uncle, these things. So relationship and friendships and other types of relationships too blind us emotionally to the intellectual. By the same token, positive things can happen because of relationships too. Because of relationships, I see things better. I see the person as better. I refuse to believe the negative. I refuse to be makabel loshon hara. That's why the Chofetz Chaim says, if you're makabel loshon hara, one of the mitzvahs I say that you're mevatel is v'ahavta l'recho kamoicho. Because if you loved him, you wouldn't accept the Lashon Hara. You wouldn't speak the Lashon Hara. You wouldn't accept the Lashon Hara. You wouldn't believe the Lashon Hara because someone I love, I can't. And therefore, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be so helpful in fostering and in expanding and developing this sense of bitochon. Because not only do I know intellectually who he is and what he does and his chesed and his rachamim and his power and his all involvement and so forth and so on, and not only do I try a little bit to feel that, you know, I'm not going to give up hope, I'm going to work on myself, I won't give up. But when I have this relationship, it's almost like it becomes natural to emotionally focus on the positive attributes. It's just like if a kid is in trouble and a stranger passes by, or even a good neighbor, someone they know, such a wonderful neighbor, and they, we know each other for so many years, and we're good friends, and this and that and the other thing, and I need help. I turn to that neighbor. So I feel, you know, it's a good chance. It's not the same if my mother was there. If my mother was there, it's different. In the context of that relationship, I know she's not going to let me down. I know she's going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that I make it, that I survive, that I, whatever it may be. So the emotional relationship that we can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help us in the internalization of this trait of bitochon. Okay, so now we got the problem. How do we do that? Most of us, I wrote something today. We're having one of these campaigns, this charity campaign, and they want to write something, a mission statement, something, whatever it is. And I used the word relationship with Hashem, and I was told to get rid of it, because that's not a word we use in polite company. No, that's not what they said. But, like, what does it mean? You want people to know what you're talking about. What V'esmendos, we used to say in Yiddish. How do you eat relationship with Hashem? Like, what is it all about? What are we talking about? So it's in itself a difficult concept. So yes, a relationship with Hashem will help us to be able to find, through all the intellectual knowledge that we have, the ability to rely on Him and not to give up hope, and eventually to trust in Him that He's going to help us. But how do I get there? To that relationship. So for that, I'd like to take a moment or two and, number one, tell us the good news is that Shlomo HaMelech, the Chochom Mikol Odom, the Novi Hashem, prophesied in Shir HaShirim that despite what the Golus may indicate to us about Hashem's Hester Ponim, and despite what our own emotions might tell us about our lack of passionate love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it remains that relationship is as real, is as passionate, is as vibrant, is a timeless relationship that continues to this very day. So has taught us Shlomo HaMelech. So on an intellectual level, I have to know, Hashem intensely loves Klal Yisrael, and we, despite the fact that we don't see it, but it's there. It's deep. It's there. I dare say, I had a recollection today of a 5-year-old child whose siblings were tormenting him. Who do you love more, your mother or your father? 5-year-old kid, what should he answer? So if he's a smart kid, he'll say, both the same. First I love Hashem, then my mother and father are equal. At 10, I don't know if kids would say that. And at 15, for sure not. And at 40 and 30 and 50, forget it. But that's the way it should be. First I love Hashem. That's the love of my life. A little child can appreciate that. We've been tainted. We've been, I don't know what we've been. Life has had many negative influences upon us. But it's there. It's there. The little kid, it came right out. First, I love Hashem. It's like, and we have to believe in that intellectually and that develop that emotionally. And we develop that emotionally. One of the keys, I think, in all of this, the emotional key to get there, is to focus on Hashgacha Pratis. When one focuses on Hashgacha Pratis, and specifically in his or her own life, the little miracles, so to speak. Now, there's a lot of books that have been published about that, but I personally suggest that each person write his own book for himself, because the things that happen to me are much more powerful influences over my life than the things that happen to someone else, especially when they're third hand and fourth hand and I don't even know, and maybe maybe you doctored it a little bit and just cheating, just a drop, and if everyone looks in their lives and in the lives of their family, they will find miracles, little miracles, hidden miracles, sometimes seemingly insignificant miracles, but they're there. And that has to be a source of emotionally internalizing the message that, yes, Hashem gets involved, and Hashem does. Why should he do? You know, this miracle, this was petty, this was nothing. Why did he get involved in that? Of course, I have to believe that he's involved in everything. I have to believe that nothing happens by accident. I have to believe that nothing can happen without him. But knowing all of that, that he gets himself involved with such stupidity. Why? What? What's it all about? I can already see, I can already feel that emotionally, he'll take care of my situation as well. And all of this is an ongoing process. We need constant chizuk. Again and again and again and again. It's like someone, I don't know, I don't know anything about it, reliable or not, I just heard it, but someone came up with some type of a skula, with a person has a tzara, but write down all of the kindness that Hashem has done to you in your life. And then they said then to recite nishmas, thanking Hashem for all of that. I can imagine, I don't know, where that comes from or what, but the concept is amazing. Imagine thinking and committing to writing all of the kindness that Hashem has bestowed upon me from the earliest memory of my life to this very day. And there's so much. And when you look for it, you find it. And when you don't look for it, it can be right by your eyes, in front of your eyes, and you don't even see it. But this also depends upon how much we have invited or crystallized Hashem's intimate involvement, with every aspect of our lives. And here this brings us to another piece. And really, there's a lot of different ideas here, and I think they're all important. Some people might think one is more beneficial to them, another person might think something else, but I think it's all important. It's the whole gamut of the emotions and the intellectual that we have to bring together to, on a constant basis, to develop that sense of trust in Hashem. I'd like to add to it another ingredient. We do a lot. And the truth of the matter is that it would be a lot easier if Hashem created the world, that you know what you have to do? You wake up in the morning and you go downstairs to your living room and you sit there the whole day. That's all. Don't go to work. Don't answer the phone. Don't do anything. And Hashem will provide. You know, Hashem will provide. If that was the way we lived, it would be a lot easier for us to rely on Hashem. Because we would see it. It's certainly nothing I did, because I did nothing. It's obviously, it's all Him. In fact, that might have been a good formula too, except for a few things. Number one, the Chavis HaLabavos explains, if we would sit all day doing nothing, who knows what we would be doing? Who knows what kind of things we would be doing that we shouldn't be doing? Because Batolam Eviyali De Shiamu, you know, we sit around doing nothing. And he also mentions something else too. If we were to do that, to sit around all day and do nothing, eventually it would get lost. Like, it would be too much, too obvious, too, you know. In a sense, the Dor HaMidbar had that opportunity. They had mon at their doorstep, but it was too much. It was overwhelming. You know, and sometimes we that leads us to, you know, to run. So it's not the way of life. But if it would remove one very big detriment to developing bitochen. And that is, what do you mean? But bitochen, me, I did it. I did it. I know I did my research, I did my this, I did my homework, and I made my efforts, and I made my investment, and I did it. And when it comes to medicine, I did this, and I took the right medication, I went to the right doctor, I went to the right here, I went there, it's me, 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 me. That me, 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 me is a big detriment. So a person has to get into the mode of realizing, I am only going through the motions. My job, my business, is not what brings me parnosa. The Mishnah says it in Kiddushah very beautifully. It says, Ein ha'umnis ma'asheres ba'aleho. It isn't the profession that makes a person wealthy. It isn't the trade that makes a person wealthy. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom. What you do is just the thing that you're good at, the thing that you like to do, the form that you, the way that you have to fulfill both the curse of Adam Arishon, and the fact that Hashem doesn't want us to sit around doing nothing and be lazy, then we'll end up doing all kinds of things. And these are the motions that I have to go through, but they're motions. They're empty motions. They're not the reality of the world. And the reality is Hashem does everything. The reality is Hashem, in fact, there's a very beautiful, and I think I mentioned this last time, but it's something that we say in davening really should require our attention. Ki lishuoscho kivinu kol hayom. For your Yeshua, your salvation, your help, we have hoped, not kol yom, not every day, once a day, or three times a day, kol hayom. And kol hayoy means me'esle is 24 hours, kol halaylo too. So we're constantly, it's ongoing, it's forever. What do you mean, Yeshuoscha? But I'm doing. You're doing nothing. You're going through the motions. You don't have any power. And if a person, and it's not unflattering. In fact, it's really very flattering. It's not unflattering to say, what am I doing? I'm just like a monkey. I'm going through emotions all day long. It's very flattering to think that the Rebbeinu Shalom is taking care of every single thing that I do. Wow. I feel choshev. I feel, the only thing is he's doing the same thing for you too, so I don't feel so choshev, you know. But still, we all feel choshev. Like, look what he's doing. Look what he does for us. Look how he takes care of us. And this is also something that's very important, because if I think that I'm doing, and if I have a crisis, and if I actually look at myself as doing, then it's so difficult to look to Hashem, because it's an affront to myself, it's an insult to myself, it's a denial of what I'm doing. It's like a denial of the reality. Here I am doing. Are there any Hatzolah members here? No, I'm doing fine, thank you. It's just, but I was once invited, I don't know if they'll ever invite me again, I think it was balanced, to speak for a Hatzolah dinner that they have in Queens. So I wanted to give them a message. And I wanted to give them a message that would benefit them in terms of their ruchnius, but not offend them in terms of their state of mind and, you know, the psychology of what they do. So I found, it was Hanukkah time, it was perfect. Hashbucha, no question about it. It was Hanukkah time. They have a thing for Hanukkah, I think they have something for the members there. So I found the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Hanukkah. The Rambam says something very contradictory. He says that there was gzeiros against the Jews and the Yevonim and this and that. And then he says, it was terrible and they suffered so much. Ad sherichem aleihem melech malchei amlochim v'geolon. And he had rachmonos on them and he saved them. V'kom v'chashmonoim v'hitzilu es Yisrael. I'm misquoting, I don't have it exactly, but that's the... He says once Hashem did it, and then he said the chashmonoim did it. Give out. I mean, I'm half right. Hashem did it. Says the Chashmonoim also saved them. What's the pshat? I said, it's really very simple. We have to realize Hashem does everything. Even Hatzolah has to realize that Hashem is doing it. Hashem makes it that he gets there in time. Hashem makes it that he knows what to do. Hashem makes it that the extra minute that he had, and you know, and each thing in this car didn't come in the way, and this he was able to, and this... On the other hand, Hashem, when we do our share, he gives us the full credit. He says the Chashmonoim saved Klal Yisrael. The Ramban says Alosh Nilmole Chashmonoim Nishtakach Teiru Mitzvos Yisrael. They are credited with the full accomplishment as if they did it. When we do what we do, we're doing something very important, and it's not only flattering because Hashem is doing everything for us. But it's also flattering because since we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, whether it's going to work, whether it's going to the doctor, whether it's going to Hatzolah, whether it's taking care of my children, whatever it may be, but when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, Hashem says like this, I'm taking care of everything and I'm giving you the credit. Wow, that's not a bad deal. The credit is yours, you know. The credit is yours. I'll just take the cash. No, the credit is yours. I'm doing everything. I do it all for you. You do nothing. You just, you know, let me take care of everything. But since you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that also can help us because it can then take away, and I sincerely suggest, and I know this may be going, getting a little bit too heavy, sincerely suggest that sometimes we should take a step back for a moment and think, yes, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going through the motions. I'm doing mitzvahs. This is the mitzvah. This is what I have to do. This is my responsibility. But this is not what brings about the result. Don't forget that it's your doing. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, everybody used to say that, Ayidavton nisht uifton. We have to do, not accomplish. Accomplishments of Yad Hashem. And when a person realizes that all I'm doing is going through the motions, it makes it easier for a person to recognize that Don't get carried away. I'm so good. My hands are so talented. My brain is so smart. My MBA is, it was so, it's just a good thing I went to Harvard. And very nice. That was the ishtadlus. You did this, you did that. All that is important. But he's doing it. And when I realize that, then it becomes easier to rely on him. Certainly not to lose hope and to rely on him, because it has nothing to do with me. It's out of my hands. It's out of my hands. It's out of the hands of the doctor. It's out of the hands of the banker. It's out of the hands of the professional. It's out of the hands of the. And this is the state of mind that we have to create. It's a process. I would say it's a lifetime's work. But I would like to conclude with just one thought. David HaMelech said, "Vani kirvas elikim litoiv." The closeness that I have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the ultimate good. The feeling of happiness that this engenders is not shaykh to achieve any other way. David HaMelech, on the one hand, had a life of suffering. His life, I mean, the types of suffering that he did, being pursued by a father-in-law, being pursued by a son, being tempted and tormented by on all sides. Yet David HaMelech had that ultimate relationship with Hashem. He would wake up before Chatzos or Iro Shochar, and then wake up the morning singing the praises to Hashem. He authored the ultimate, the final word on Bakoshois and Tehilois v'Tishbochois to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difficulty of his life and the connection that he had with Hashem. And ultimately he said, Vani kirva selikim litoiv. He had a good life because it brought him closer and closer to Hashem. The difficulties of life can bring us closer, can inspire us to work harder on this bitochon, not to lose the hope, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to realize when I'm faced with a difficulty, I realize I can't do anything about it. The more I can't do anything about it, the more I have to recognize Him, the more I get close to Him. Not only does He respond, not only does it give me menuchas hanefesh, peace of mind, but it's toiv, it's so good, it's so geschmack, I feel so good. It's the ultimate relationship. And Reb Meir Simcha, in the Meshech Chochma, says that the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of having bitochon, of trusting Hashem, is from the posuk of Uboy Sidbok. Cling to Hashem. The bitochon really connects me to Hashem. The bitochon brings me to such a close relationship to Hashem because there's nothing in between. There's nothing marring that relationship. There's no one else. It's me and him, and that's it. It's not the ishtadlus, it's not the doctor, it's not the advisor, it's not the banker, it's not the education, it's not the prowess, it's not anything. It's only that. And that makes life a good place to be. That's my story. Okay. What? Yeah. Cool.